Not an easy subject, preparing for persecution. Not an easy subject. It's like someone could say, I didn't leave at all encouraged. Well, how can I encourage you in the sense we normally think of encouragement? The only encouragement that the Word of God gives us is we can rejoice in it, have victory through it, and at the end it'll be worth it. That's the encouragement. But nobody says it's going to be easy. Who wants to be persecuted? I once had a person tell me, when I hear you speak, it makes me uncomfortable. You tell me things that make me uncomfortable. I've been reading the books of such and such a person for over 21 years, and now you're telling me that this teaching is not scriptural. I can't really accept that because it doesn't leave me encouraged. I once had a Jehovah's Witness woman tell me, I took Jehovah's Witness watchtowers and Awake magazines and showed them to these Jehovah's Witnesses. And there was a younger one with two older ones. I said, see, well, your own people predict things that don't happen. Why are you following people that predict things that don't happen? And the older ones accused me of breaking people's faith. I said, breaking your faith in what? Your own literature? Somehow, the subjective preference of somebody becomes the objective standard, if it's right or wrong. I don't want to hear it. You know, someone goes and they get some chest x-rays, and you put the chest x-rays up. Well, I'm sorry, but you have this cancer. You have this carcinoma. And we can remove it now, or we can remove this pneumothorax or whatever, but you have to remove it now. If you don't remove it now and deal with it now, you'll be dead in 6 months. But that makes me very uncomfortable. I don't want to believe that. I was so happy yesterday, so I came to hear you. Now I'm not happy anymore. I'm not coming to this clinic or this surgery ever again. I'm going to go where they're going to tell me everything is just roses. So they go back to the other clinic where they say everything's swell, have a cigarette. And then they die. Over at Dr. Feelgood's place. But over at Dr. Truthgood's place, they don't like him. They don't have a deal with what he says, just that they don't want to hear it. I deal in realities because the Word of God does. Now, we have a problem with Bibles in different languages. Some of them will translate different words differently. For instance, if Eli Sheva and myself, you were telling us something and we were translating it into Hebrew to somebody who only speaks Hebrew and you were speaking English, we would translate it, but there would be slight differences. The main message would come across, the same idea would come across, but she might use one word and I might use another word. We had a few inquiries. The circle of the merrymakers. And some Bibles say mockers. That's also true. First of all, the Hebrew word there for circle, it's not magale or circles. It's not kikar. It's another word, kod. Kod. It's not even used in modern Hebrew anymore. And it doesn't mean a round circle. What it means is an assembly of deliberation with the idea of secrecy, like initiation. You've got to be initiated into it. That's what the word means. The circle of the merrymakers is like this assembly you have to be initiated into with the air of secrecy about it. And again, this is what you see today. Do you have it? Have you had it? You must have had this kind of experience to be initiated into it. And if you haven't had this, you're not on the in. You know what I'm saying? It's that kind of term. Merrymakers, some Bibles translate mockers. That's also it. The reference, wine is a mocker. You know that very strong drink is a brother. It's the same idea. The spiritual drunkenness leads them to mockery. you can always translate these things different ways. Circle of the Merrymakers is a good translation, but you could also say the Assembly of the Mockers. You're never going to bring the word out exactly. As I tried to point out last night, from a literary point of view, the book of Jeremiah is not chronological. It's not a whole story like a narrative beginning to end. He retells the same thing several times from several different aspects. We don't know when he wrote all of it. Some of it may have been written in Egypt, some scholars think. Some of it may have been written, was apparently written by not Jeremiah directly, but Baruch, being dictated to by Jeremiah, says that. And he keeps coming back to the same point. This is what you're doing, this is what you're doing, this is what you're doing. And he uses various Hebrew words for stupid, foolish, things like this. The first word he uses is the most serious, and I'll come back to that. But there's another word, Nabal. He says, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're a Nabal. Nabal, I suppose you would translate it moron. Would you say that? Yeah. Litzon is like clown, Nabal is like, yeah. You can always get different. Then there's Tapal. That means just basically stupid or insipid. It's just the closest to the English word. The modern Hebrew equivalent would be Tepesh, I guess. Yeah, Tepesh. Then there's another word Jeremiah uses once in Lamentations. Sakal, meaning thick head. But the most serious word, which says you're stupid, the word there is Adil. Adil. That word, I translated it last night, it was not congenital stupidity or intellectual stupidity, it was willful stupidity. That's how I explained it last night. I checked last night, and apocalyptical commentators say it means to pervert one's logic, or to intentionally pervert one's logic in order to justify something you know is not on. Now, I said it means willful stupidity. That's a valid way to say it. It's willful stupidity, but the actual meaning is to pervert one's logic, to intentionally pervert your logic, to justify or rationalize something that you know is not rational. And he does this six times. He explains what they're doing, and then he says, you're morons. Then he goes on like this. And he says, you're stupid. He goes on like this, and he says, you're thickheads. He keeps using these very strong terms. He keeps doing it. Now, some people will say, I'm sorry, but that's what he does. And not only that, but God put it in his word. And he wrote it under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You got to understand, it's not like you're making fun of somebody who's born slow, congenitally slow with a learning impairment. It's not that. And it's not someone, who just doesn't have the intellectual ability. It's not somebody with a birth defect. It's people who intentionally pervert their logic. And you've seen this. How many of you have shown videos, have shown exact things to people, and they knew it's, and they could see, they couldn't justify it from Scripture, they knew it was wrong, and still they persist in it and say, you have the problem, even though they couldn't defend what they believe in or fault what you show them. How many people have had that experience? Quite a lot. Put your hands up again. Now, that is what Adil means. They pervert their logic. I translated it willful stupidity. Okay, that's how I translated it. The actual etymology of the word means to pervert your logic, intentionally pervert your logic. Jeremiah chapter 15. The circle of the merrymakers. The circle of the merrymakers. Do you tell the little dearies to be less dear? The circle of the merrymakers, Jeremiah 15. If there's one book that teaches about how to prepare for persecution in the New Testament, the theme of 1 Peter. If there's a book that teaches about how to prepare for persecution in the Old Testament, it's Jeremiah. Verse 16. Thy words were found that I ate them, and thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart. I've been called by thy name, O Lord of hosts. I did not sit in the circle of merrymakers, nor did I exult. Because of thy hand upon me, I sat alone. Thou didst fill me with indignation. Why has my pain been perpetual? My wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Wilt thou indeed be to me like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable? Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return, then I will restore you. Before me you will stand, and if you extract the precious from the worthless, you will be my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. But I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze, and though they fight against you, they'll not prevail over you. I am with you to save you and deliver you, declares the Lord. So I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked and will redeem you from the grasp of the violent. Lord God, Avinu Malkeinu, Eloheinu Moshiinu, Ana Adonai, Ot Pam Anachnu Mevakshim Mimcha, Tach Et Enayim Shelanu Nitiferes Al Dvarecha, Yiten Lanu Abba, Oznaim Lishmoa, Lishmoa Milim Shelcha, Lo Sheli Amimcha, Kishem SheYeshua HaMashiach Adoneinu, Goelinu, Veshchenu VeTzidkatenu, Anachnu Mevakshim Mitparalim. Amen. The circle of the merrymakers. Those who sit in the circle of the merrymakers and those who sit alone. When persecution is coming to God's people, there'll be two kinds of people. There will be those who choose to sit in the circle of the merrymakers and those who choose to sit alone. Everybody's going to be in one of those two camps. And for those who choose to sit alone, there'll be a temptation. Because you see what happens. In verse 18, discouragement comes. You almost feel God himself is leading you into some kind of a deceptive stream. Your pain becomes perpetual. But God is using this to clean us up, to extract the precious from the worthless, those who are going to survive what's coming. But when the pressure comes, the tendency becomes to join the crowd. They may come to you, but don't you go to them. You can get some people to leave the circle of the merrymakers and come to you, but don't you get up and join the circle of the merrymakers. When persecution comes, every one of us will either sit in the circle of the merrymakers or we will sit alone. And the Hebrew text here is much more forceful than it's easy to bring out in English. But let's look. 1 Peter 1:13, once again. What does he say? What does he say when persecution is coming? Therefore, gird your minds for action and be sober in spirit. Be sober. When persecution is coming, sobriety in spirit is the key. Sobriety, not drunkenness, not dissipation. Sober. If you're in the circle of the merrymakers, you're not going to be ready. I don't want to go into it now. We've dealt with it too many times in the past in other meetings. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but accumulate for them teachers in accordance with their own desires who will turn their ears aside to myths. The previous chapter, these deceivers will come in the character of Jonas and Jambres, Pharaoh's magicians. What did they do? False signs and wonders. How will the Antichrist try to deceive the elect? Matthew 24:24. Signs and wonders. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign,
Biblically, it's these signs follow. Jesus never allowed signs to be the focus of his ministry. We've said that enough times, I don't want to go into it. Only for the tape. Again, I myself am Pentecostal. I believe in signs understood and practiced biblically. But let's continue. So the alternative is a sight to myths, but what does Paul say? But you be sober. This deception comes in the last days. Matthew 24. What will be the signs of the last days? What does Jesus talk about? Two things. A, he talks about deception. And B, he talks about persecution. He talks about deception, and he talks about persecution. Those are the two things he reiterates the most. Persecution and deception. Deception, you'll be hated by all, etc. And what does he say when this comes? What is he warned? Matthew chapter 24. What does he say? He begins to warn the faithful. And he says the following, verse 42. Therefore, be on the alert. You don't know which day the Lord is coming. Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you be ready too. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is the faithful and sensible servant whom his master will put in charge of his household and give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds doing when he comes. And by the grace of God, that's what I'm trying to do in my own little way. Give God's people the proper food at the proper time to get ready for what's coming. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. That'll be today. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and shall begin to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, in other words, abuse the sheep. The master will come when he does not expect. Don't get drunk. Be alert, don't get drunk. Isn't that what he says? Be alert. Peter, be sober in spirit. Paul, they'll follow false teachers, get people to tickle their ears, tell them what they want, but you be sober. Peter, you be sober. Jesus, be sober. Be alert, he says. Don't get drunk. The others are in the circle of the merrymakers, and they're getting drunk. More and more drunk. Jeremiah, like all the Old Testament prophets of Israel, prophesied for three times, right? Most of us know this. For his own time, for the first coming of the Messiah, and for the second coming of the Messiah. Sometimes all in the same breath. All in the same breath. The circle of the merrymakers. Let's go back to Jeremiah 15. Thy words were found, and I ate them, in verse 16. We have a tape called Ezekiel's Scroll. We talk about eating. The scroll was sweet in the mouth, but bitter in the stomach. The word of God is always sweet in the mouth, but when you swallow it, you're responsible for it. I ate them. What's it say in John 6? John 1, the word became flesh. Then he who eats my flesh, my words. You get this transubstantiation stuff. Look what eat means in the Bible. Eat the word. Not cannibalism. Because he eats the word, God's hand comes upon him. And he couldn't sit in the circle of the merrymakers. Everybody else was going to Toronto or whatever. They were having a bash up and a party. But the person who ate the word could not sit in the circle of the merrymakers because God's hand was upon him. But then what happens? Yes, there was one aspect to this where he feels lonely and miserable. And even that God was having a go at him. And he becomes tempted to join the circle of the merrymakers. But God says, no, no, you don't join the circle of the merrymakers. They can come to you, but don't you go to them. But then, that's one side. Thy word was found and I ate them, and thy words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. The people in the circle of the merrymakers don't have joy. They have delusion. The people in the circle of the merrymakers don't have laughter. They have levity. Those who eat the word will have joy. From the son of promise, Isaac, Yitzhak, he shall laugh. We shall have laughter. Mourning will be turned into laughter. As we talk about on the Golden Calf video, you have two Hebrew infinitives, Litzhok and Netzahek. When they made the Golden Calf, they didn't rise up to laugh spontaneously. Litzhok, if it was holy laughter, it would be spontaneous. But it was Netzahek, it was a PL, a contrived, foreordained effort to fulfill the purpose of the infinitives. It was contrived laughter, it was staged. Those who sit in the circle of the merrymakers, they're making merry, but they don't have joy, they have delusion. You think of a man who's got a lot of problems. Marital problems, business problems. And so he goes out with his friends and he gets drunk and they're singing songs. Trying to manufacture joy. When he wakes up, his problems are still there, only they've gotten worse. He should have been soberly contemplating what was happening. However, if he found something that was going to tell him how to solve his problems and get out of them, he'd have joy. Instead of joy, they have delusion. Instead of real laughter, what we call in Hebrew, rinah, simcha, they have delusion, they have levity, they have the perversion. Every Christian in this country is either sitting alone or they're sitting in the circle of the merrymakers. Now, if God's hand is upon you, you might be sitting alone. That doesn't mean you don't have a joy. You have a joy. Why do you have a joy? Let's understand this. God's word becomes a delight. Let's look further. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 39. Verse 15. Now the word of the Lord had come to Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, while he was confined in the court of the guard house. The guy is in prison for his faith, you understand? He's being persecuted. He's in prison for his faith, do you see that? He's being persecuted. He's been rejected by his own people. Now he's in prison for his faith. And the Babylonians are going to conquer the country. Go and speak to Ebed Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Ebed Melech in Hebrew means servant of the king, something like that. Behold, I'm about to bring my words on this city, for disaster and not prosperity. And they will take place before you on that day. But I will deliver you on that day, declares the Lord. And you shall not be given into the hands of the men who you dread. I will certainly rescue you, and you will not fall by the sword. You will have your own life as booty, because you've trusted in me, declares the Lord. He's in prison for his faith. He's rejected by his own people. Now, national calamity that he's been prophesying for years is impending. But because he sat alone, because he was not in the circle of the merrymakers, because he was sober, because he was alert, he had a way to get out of it. Preparing for persecution. It's inevitable. Some of us, like Jeremiah, are going to wind up in prison. That's reality. But there's a way out. There's a way out. The circle of the merrymakers. They thought Jeremiah was in trouble. They didn't realize their whole city was becoming a big prison, in which would become so desperate that women would begin eating their own babies. That happened, and it was replayed again in 70 AD when you read Josephus. But let's continue. Turn with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 25. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised, yet uncircumcised. In other words, they had Brit Milah. They had some kind of a halakhic conversion, or whatever you want to call it. They were anthropologically and religiously Jews under the covenant. They were circumcised, but uncircumcised. Why? Circumcision is always the heart, isn't it? Jeremiah 8, Romans, etc. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the sons of Ammon and Moab. You see how Judah is just named with the other nations, as we pointed out this morning? His judgment is coming on all that is abominable. In other words, Egypt and Judah and Edom, Islam and false Christianity and Hinduism. It's just another people due for the judgment of God. Maybe worse. But they should have known better. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 16. This is repeated several times in Jeremiah. As for you, do not pray for this people. Do not lift up cry or prayer for them, and do not intercede with me. I do not hear you. It gets to a point where God says, don't even pray for them. Today it happens to me again. It is not the first time. Somebody came up to me and said, after listening to one of your tapes or something, I began praying for Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Hagin. And this is the word the Lord gave me. This is terrible. When things go this far, it doesn't matter what you say to these people. It doesn't matter. I was talking to some friends, some of you brethren from Hastings, was from Wales, or one or the other. And they showed people from the Bible. And they showed them a video. And they said, look, this is wrong. And we can see it's wrong, but it still doesn't matter to us. We're going to do this. Those who do not love the truth, therefore the Lord will send a delusion upon them. These things are not simply deceptions, they're judgments. You want to sit in the circle of the merrymakers? It comes to a point where it's the only place you will be able to sit. Let's continue. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10, which we'll look at again tomorrow. You will be hated by all on account of my name, but the one who endures to the end shall be saved. Whenever they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. Truly I say to you, you shall not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Again, we can relate this to Acts chapter 8, the martyrdom of Stephen and the apostles staying, the others fleeing. We can relate it to that in some measure. To flee or not to flee?
Jesus usually hid himself, didn't he? They could not touch him, and he would not allow him. Or he could have been touched, but he would not allow himself to be touched. So he hid himself until his hour had come. Jesus hid himself, didn't he? Now, I'm quite persuaded that this has a specific meaning for the believers in the land of Israel now. It's eschatological in its context, though it applies to the first century. We know that the nation of Israel, as it is, every town, every kfar, every kibbutz, every moshav, not every one of them will be evangelized. Jesus will have to come before it. You know, it says, hasten his coming, we'll send missionaries to Israel. Try to evangelize Israel as quick as you can. If Jesus can't come before that's done, it would appear to me. He won't finish doing it. Jesus will be back before that happens. Flee. It's normal to flee. The Huguenots, after the St. Bartholomew's Day massacre, fled to Britain, Northern Ireland. The Waldensians fled from the medieval papacy. Under Bloody Mary, some fled, others wouldn't. To flee or not to flee. Acts 8, they fled. The normal thing to do is use your head, get your family, and get out of there. That's the normal thing to do. But there will be times and circumstances where it will not be the purpose of God for you to do so. Moreover, you don't just do it on a whim. It's not when you see persecution coming, in verse 23. It's when the persecution is happening. Turn with me, please, again to Jeremiah 42:7. Now it came about at the end of 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he called for Yochanan the son of Kareach and all the commanders of the forces that were with him, and for all the people, both small and great, and said, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him. If you will indeed stay in this land, then I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you. I shall relent concerning the calamity that I have inflicted on you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon. Now, in order to get out of it, people in verse 13 began saying, if you're going to say we will not stay in the land, so as not to listen to the voice of the Lord, no, but we will go to the land of Egypt. What will happen to them in Egypt? So the men set their mind to go to Egypt in verse 17, to reside there, will die by the sword, by famine and pestilence, and have no survivors or refugees from the calamity I'm going to bring upon them. We have to understand the typology of Egypt. Most of you know what it is. What's Egypt? The world. Once these people get the message, once they've been in the circle of the merrymakers so long, and they've been drunk so long, and they realize it's hopeless now, once they realize the kind of trouble they're in, their propensity will be to go to the... That's what they do. They're going to go to the world. 1 Corinthians 10, Egypt's the world. Going to the world. Woe to you who go down to Egypt for help. Isaiah 31. They go to the world. Then they'll really get wiped out. The others go to Babylon. The people in the circle of the merrymakers will go to one or two places. Either they'll just backslide or go to the world. Or they'll be religious about it. They'll join the World Council of Churches.
to go to Babylon for the conference of Christians and Jews or some other such thing. Babylon or Egypt, it's hopeless. Now the other ones, the ones who sit alone, even though they might wind up in prison, they won't go to the world, and they won't go to Babylon. Ultimately, they'll go to heaven. So let's continue. Let's look at those who sit in the circle of the merrymakers. When you read the book of Jeremiah comprehensively, you notice it's not exactly chronological all the time. Sections are, sections aren't. That's very interesting from a literary point of view, because Revelation, you have the same thing. Sections are chronological, other sections aren't, and there's an overlap in things like this. But when you try to see plumb lines through it, you basically see there's two camps of people. The minority and the majority. The minority are those who eat the word and sit alone with a joy, yet almost with a sense of despair at what's happening to their nation. The majority sit in the circle of the merrymakers. They think of the others as crazy, unspiritual. And when the others continue to warn and try to speak out, the majority persecutes them. We're in the circle of the merrymakers. Don't ruin our party. The majority and the minority. If you were at a place like a Banner Ministries conference or a Moriel conference or an Adullam Register conference or a Prophecy Today conference, the chances are, the likelihood is, you're sitting alone. The others were in the circle of the merrymakers. Plenty of them were the outcasts. Chapter 3, verse 3, the showers have been withheld, no spring rain. You had a harlot's forehead. You refused to be disgraced. The rain forms Maim Hayim, living water. As most of us know, John 7, 38, 39, Isaiah 44, 3. What's Maim Hayim, living water? What is it? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not being outpoured. Didn't happen with their Kansas City. Didn't happen with their Toronto. It's not going to happen with their Alpha or their Promise Keepers or their anything else. They're just sitting in the circle of the merrymakers. Persecution is coming. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22. My people are foolish. They know me not. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. I listen to your tapes and I agree with what you said, but you're so ungracious. Jeremiah, I know you're telling the truth, but you sound almost as bad as Jacob Pratt and David Noakes and Charles Proctor. Why are all you guys so ungracious, Jeremiah? Well, I'm no Jeremiah. But when he stands up and he says, God is telling me my people are foolish, they're stupid. Those who sit in the circle of the merrymakers are stupid. Those who go to Vineyard churches are stupid. Those who go to Holy Trinity Bedlam are stupid. Those who go to St. Andrew's Chorley Wood are stupid. Those who go to Kensington Temple are stupid. Thus saith Jacob Prask. No, thus saith the Lord. My people. Doesn't say they're not his people. He just says that they're stupid.
Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 12.
I love this one.
Misfortune will not come upon us. We'll not see the sword. Kingdom now. We're king's kids. We're going forth in triumph.
They're stupid. More mosques being built than churches. Babylon is ready to invade. Misfortune will not come upon us. Misfortune's already upon them. They're stupid. So they go to the circle of the merrymakers. I don't want to go into this now. Verses 30 and 31. An appalling and horrible thing has happened. The prophets prophesy falsely. Kansas City, Toronto, all of it. And my people love it so. But what will you do in the end, stupid? Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. What about the rest of us? Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you. Do not learn the way of the nations. Do not be terrified by the signs of the heavens, although the nations are terrified of them. You see, God's judgment is coming. Even unsaved people are going to see it. And they'll go into all of this stuff. Don't fear them. They can't do you any harm. But neither can they do you any good. Verse 21. Why are the people stupid? In chapter 10. The people are stupid because their pastors are stupid. Do you see that? The Hebrew word for pastor and shepherd is the same word. If your pastor's a moron, you're a moron. Is that what I said? No, that's what God said. For their pastors have become stupid. Is that what it says? They've not sought the Lord. They've not prospered. Has revival come? No. And all their flock are scattered. How many people were in churches where Toronto, for instance, came? And came out of it. Thank you. How many people saw churches split and depopulate because of Toronto? What happens? Their flock is scattered. The pastor said it was a blessing. You're losing people and it's a blessing? What are you, stupid? Yeah, they're stupid. They're sitting in the circle of the merrymakers. You watch some of these videos of St. Andrew's Trolley Wood and a certain bishop. Some said it thundered. You just watch these people. Look at the articles they write. Look how they quote scripture out of context. They're stupid. These people are stupid. Unbelievable. Chapter 22, verse 21. I'm sorry, chapter 20, verse 6. Jeremiah 26. And you, Peshur, and all who live in your house will go into captivity. You'll enter Babylon and you'll die there. You'll be buried there. You and all your friends to whom you have prophesied falsely. Wow. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. If you sit alone, there's going to be times you're going to feel like that. Why is God doing this to me? I thought God was going to bless me. I thought God was going to use me. I'd become a laughing stock.
Dave Hunt, you read that stuff.
Everyone mocks me. Each time I speak, I cry aloud. Verse 11, but the Lord is with me. Like a dread champion, therefore my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They'll be utterly disgraced because they have failed. With an everlasting disgrace, they will be forgotten. Kansas City failed. Toronto failed. Promise Keepers will fail. Alpha Course will fail. There'll be no revival. But ultimately, these guys will fail. Where are they going to go? Verse 6. Babylon. That's where they're going. Babylon. They'll fail and fail and fail. All the way to repentance? All the way to revival? No. All the way to Babylon. What's it say in Proverbs? Let us have one purse. That's what they're going to do. Jeremiah 23:21. I didn't send these prophets. They ran, but I didn't speak to them, but they prophesied. Look at the previous verse. In the last days, you'll understand it. He wasn't just speaking for his own time, but what happened in his own time teaches about the last days. You see what he's saying? What happened for his day, you see these guys, one after another, saying the most crazy things you can imagine. There's one in the United States right now who is praying to, not just praying to the dead, he's communing with the dead. And if you say to him, that's an abomination, he says you're touching God's anointed and you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. We know what happened when Saul went to the witch of Endor. He says in his book, there's a guy named Earl Paul. This is not gossip, he published it. Not an attack, this is what he does. But for every real, there's a counterfeit. So for every counterfeit, there's a real. Therefore, there's a false seance. So there must be a true one. And Jesus talks to him, to his dead daughter or something like that. He talks to his dead daughter. She's the messenger. Familiar spirit, a vote. And people believe it and go to his church. You know why? Because they're stupid. That's what it says. They're stupid. It doesn't just say they're deceived or misled. It says they are stupid. That's not me. God calls this stupidity. So let's read. Jeremiah 29. He sees all this coming. Verse 11. But I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah was being persecuted. Jeremiah saw what was happening. He knew what was coming for years, not just a couple of months or 1 year or 2 years. This man went on for many years warning people. And they wouldn't listen. They just went on and on and on. What was going on in the circle of the merrymakers? Occult divination? Drunkenness? False prophecies made by false prophets. The shepherds led the people into it. The people had no understanding. Absolutely none. It was obvious that Babylon was coming to invade them. No Nobody could deny reality. Just look. The crime, the divorce, the homosexuality, the New Age, the Islam, the Eastern religion. Everybody knows what's coming. Instead, you go out to the circle of the merrymakers and pretend it's going to get better. I'll tell you. Do I get lonely? Yes. Do I feel depressed? Yes. I don't want to see God's judgment come on England or America, and I don't want to see God's judgment come on the body of Christ of England and America. I love these people. I love these nations. The same as I do Israel, despite it all, I love them. Like Jeremiah, I lament. Echa in Hebrew, Lamentations. He lamented, I don't get no pleasure in this. I get no pleasure. If anybody does get pleasure, they're crazy. Yet I have a joy. I have a joy because I eat His word and His hand is upon me. It's only that joy that's my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thy word is a delight unto me. Oh, I get miserable. I get frustrated. I get depressed. Sometimes I want to give up and just go back to Israel or move to the desert in California, anything. But I have a strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. How do I get that joy? His word becomes a delight to me. I know that if I keep His hand on me, if I eat His word and I'm willing to sit alone, not join the circle of the merrymakers. Why don't you just give up and join the party with the rest of them? No. Let them come to you. Don't you go to them. I know. They may put me in prison. They may put me in prison. A time may come when they may put you in prison. I don't question that for one tenth of one second. Never question that. But what happened to Jeremiah when he was in prison? What did God tell Jeremiah when he was in prison? He was sitting in prison for his faith. He was being persecuted. And now the judgment was really going to fall. But I will deliver you on that day. You shall not be given into the hand of those whom you dread. You'll have your life as booty because you've trusted me. No, friends. It's probably gone too far. I'm neither a pessimist nor an optimist, but I am a realist. It's probably gone too far. Don't pray for the welfare of these people. That doesn't mean we shouldn't witness and try to reach others. And it certainly doesn't mean we shouldn't try to warn them. God told Jeremiah like He told Ezekiel, they won't listen, but tell them anyway. It doesn't mean we give up, but it does mean we accept reality. There's nothing you're going to do. It's gone too far. It has gone too far. They don't want to know. They're stupid. But they're not intellectually stupid. They're not congenitally stupid. They are willfully stupid. Hear what I say? They're not congenitally stupid. They weren't born that way. They're not intellectually stupid. They can comprehend. They are willfully stupid. Their pastors, their shepherds, their leaders are willfully stupid. You're dealing with stupidity of the worst kind. I've talked to Romani gypsies. As I said, the only people group in Western Protestant Europe where God is clearly working in power. Many of these brothers and sisters were people who were illiterate their whole lives. They couldn't even read or write till they got saved, and they wanted to read the Bible, and they became literate. They were not intellectually privileged people. But they're not stupid. The minute they saw this stuff, you know what the Romani gypsies told me? I showed them videos of Toronto and its leaders and Rodney Brown. And you know what they told me in Copenhagen? You know what they said? That's duckering. We were saved out of. How do you say it? Duckering. I said, what's duckering? They said to me, that's what we were saved out of. I said, what do you mean? He said, that's using the occult to get money out of people. That's what we used to do before we were saved. They're not stupid. Those gypsies knew exactly what it was. But you've got people who went to Bible colleges and seminaries who were stupid. It's not an intellectual stupidity. It's a willful stupidity. It's much worse. It's much worse. I showed these videos to pastors, guys who were friends of mine, who I knew and respected. I used to be welcomed in their church. This happened in Australia. And they said, we believe it anyway. I'm uncomfortable with it. I know that's wrong, but we believe. They're stupid. How can you be that stupid? How can you be that stupid? Can't you read? If you couldn't read, I could understand you being that stupid, but you can read. Friends, it's gone too far. There's no way out. Judgment must come on this nation. It must come on the church in this nation. There's no way out. There's no way out for Britain. There's no way out for the church in Britain. But there is a way out for you. You might be lonely. You might be persecuted. Time might come, we'll be sent to prison. But you can have a way out. Realize what's going on. Realize it's gone to the point that if people will believe this, what won't they believe? If people can't see through this obvious deception, what won't they believe? How will they, if you can't see through obvious charlatans and con men, what's going to happen when real deceivers come? You're stupid. Don't be stupid. You might be lonely, but you don't have to be stupid. You might get depressed, you don't have to be stupid. You might get despondent, but don't be stupid. Eat the word. Sit alone. But don't be stupid. There's going to be times in the next 3 to 5 years where you're going to feel like giving up. Where you're going to say either, I join the crowd, or just fall away from the Lord. Well, those people in the crowd, they're either going to Babylon or they're going to Egypt. One way or another, they're on the road to hell. And it's getting to the point that there's nothing you're going to do to stop it. Let them come to you. You can reach individuals within it. But don't think of changing the system. They're stupid. You can't talk to people who are stupid if they want to be stupid. I can talk to uneducated people. I can talk to illiterate people. I can talk to simple people. I can talk to people who have no choice or nothing because of their background or their birth or whatever, aren't too with it. You can talk to people like that. But when you have somebody who you know knows better, somebody who you knew and respected 5 years ago, he was as sound as anybody could be, and he's choosing this,
This is stupidity. You're dealing with gross stupidity. I don't know any other way to say it except the way Jeremiah did. They're stupid. How can they be so stupid? But they are. They're stupid, and their pastors are stupid. I don't have any solution except for you to save your own neck. Don't be stupid. You're going to feel like it in the next 3 to 5 years. I can see that happening. Beyond the next 5 years, I can definitely see a massive backsliding and going to Egypt among a lot of these people, even the leaders who are into it now. Already the sheep wandering off, that's already a reality to a degree, as Jeremiah said. After 5 years, I can see even their leaders going to Egypt or just going to Babylon. Look at it already. You ever hear of Michael Harper? He was one of the leaders of the charismatic movement in this country, wasn't he? And he was super ecumenical, wasn't he? He was right in with David Watson and the rest of them at the beginning. You know what he has done last year? He was ordained into the Eastern Orthodox Church, which believes that icons are the windows into the metaphysical spiritual world. You know, in Israel, you've seen the Eastern churches and the way they are with the icons and the images, and you'd have to really, to really understand Eastern Orthodoxy, you have to see it in the East. Elishevelitz. You wouldn't believe it. I was in Greece, and I was on Patmos, the island of Patmos, where Revelation was written. I went to one of their monasteries. I was the only non-monk in. You wouldn't believe it. The pictures become the way you enter the spiritual. This is Babylon. If they don't go to Egypt, they go to Babylon. 5 years. 5 years. You're going to see it. Today, they're in the circle of the merrymakers. 5 years from now, be backslidden, or they'll have gone to Babylon. In the meantime, they're going to put you in prison. It might come to a literal prison. Might come to that. But you're already in prison in the body of Christ, aren't you? How many people here have close friends, have close families, were in churches for years, and now they don't want anything to do with you? They've got you in isolation. How many people? Put your hand up. You're in prison. You understand? You're in prison. You're in prison. They've got you locked up. They've got you locked up in prison. They ought to be locked up in a mental institution. I can't tell you anything more than I did. But I know 3 to 5 years from now, the next 3 to 5 years, people like us are going to be under a lot of pressure. And we're going to be under a lot of emotional turmoil. We are going to be under a lot of loneliness. We're going to be attacked with discouragement and despair. The other guys will be having a party. What you already see with guys like Michael Harper, Andrew Walker, these are respected evangelicals who have already gone to Babylon. Respected evangelical leaders have already gone to Babylon. After the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see a whole grand scale influx into it. The super church. Others will just fall away and lose their faith in Jesus completely. There's no other possibility for those people. You have a possibility. I will deliver you. I will deliver you, declares the Lord. I will rescue you. For you, for me, for your family, for my family, yes. For our friends, for people we've loved, for people we've cared about, even those of our own households that have gone this way, in the circle of the merrymakers, it's getting to the point of no return for those people. No return. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not an optimist. I'm a realist. You want to sit in the circle of merrymakers? You can sit in the circle of merrymakers. I choose to sit alone. God bless you.